The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Rich is here. Brady's here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Well, I'm not sitting next to him, so talking to me?
I am. You're in the far left over there.
I said handsome first, did I not? I'll tell you what. These clothes are a little tighter. My goodness, I can't even breathe.
I'm in a food coma.
That's the term.
Food coma.
We haven't finished yet.
I finished.
I'm finished.
We haven't finished eating
Trust
yet.
Trust me, they may finish me.
Well, we're live at the Windjammer Upper Deck Pub here. You're right, we did eat well. We ate like kings, Richie said. So
it was.
You got here and ordered a burger, which, by the way, you ordered incorrectly. I don't know how you order a burger wrong, but you did.
I did, and I thought it was their fault, but it never is.
Lucky I didn't throw it on you is what I did. Lucky I didn't throw the burger on you.
So I got myself
some enchiladas. Which were phenomenal, fantastic. I loved it. My wife was just staring at me like I was doing something wrong, but I loved every bite of it. And then she yelled at me for ordering a ginger ale.
That's going beyond.
Yeah, that's over the line. Over the line.
I mean, ginger ale. It's the most harmless thing in the world.
I could have been doing bourbon and ginger ale. It could have been the same thing. Who knows? But just ginger ale.
I had a buffalo chicken sandwich, and then they brought us out one of my all-time favorite appetizers. They brought us out a lot of places will do pretzel sticks with beer cheese sauce or something. This is a pretzel on steroids. This is what we're calling the Robinson Cano pretzel.
Wow. So
the Robinson Cano pretzel on steroids with a beer-based dipping sauce that's like a Harpoon.
I love it.
Harpoon Brewery. It is absolutely. There's still a little bit of it left, and as soon as we might break a little early so I can go eat the rest of it.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm going to Orange Theory Fitness tomorrow. I'm going to work that off, for crying out loud.
Well, I had at least 1.5 burgers complete with the fries because I came in here and ordered. I mean, I got here at 2:45, had a 2:45:01.
This is the only place you ever come early to.
I don't know about that.
Yes,
there's
is.
Food involved.
Yes,
but
exactly.
So I said the same thing I always say, black and blue, well done. With fries. And so apparently here, a black and blue is not, in fact, a cheeseburger,
cheeseburger.
With blue cheese.
Yes.
Which I thought it was. It means black on the outside, and the blue part means it's going to be red. So that didn't make any sense to me, but whatever. Oh. So they brought it out, and sure enough, it's still kicking on the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Turns out that's exactly what I asked for by mistake.
There you go.
So, Dan, you know, you got the GM, we got the owner, we got everybody coming over here. I'm sorry. Can I have another one?
I really want to know who orders a burger. Just give me the hockey puck.
Yes.
Who orders that?
I do. That's how I eat it.
And look, they make their burgers great, so I have no doubt that all of their burgers are great. But still, my sandwich was juicy, succulent. You're missing out.
No, my mother. This comes from my mother. I'll blame this on her now that it's not Mother's Day anymore. But you know, we used to go out all the time, and I'd sit across the table, and she would order some form of meat, as she put it, still bleeding.
Yes.
She used to say that to the waiter. I was like, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
You also don't eat steak for the same reason.
If it's cooked beyond belief, I will eat
steak. So if it looks like it's been on the ground for a while, rubbed in dirt.
Next time we come here, we'll get you a steak. How about that? We'll make you eat that
just
here.
Just burn it, baby.
Because they got good steak here.
Has charred flakes coming
off. By the way, you missed trivia, guys, last night. It was a pretty good crowd. Had a lot of fun. There was a table of about 20 young women. Who was part of the rugby club.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, we didn't have a speaker back there, so I would go back there to read the questions and just
pick up phone numbers.
You know, stuff like that. Yeah. I walked back there once, and I hear one of the girls, "Where did he come from? Wow!" And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm looking pretty good. Been working out. I turn around, my son's standing behind me. I'm like, oh, come on now, girls, come on.
How could that be?
I know you're talking to me, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what, if there's any group you don't mess with, it's female rugby players.
We had
those at Linden State, and I've never seen them. I've never seen a tougher group of people in my life.
I have. Marcus Smart.
And boy, they put their beers down. I would imagine they kept the bartender busy in the back room last night with the beer orders.
Oh, it was good. Brady, how's your neck feeling? You still good or what?
No, my neck is not good. I do have a slightly freer range of motion today, but I've determined there is now a a tingling sensation in my fingers when I move my neck to one specific spot.
You could
so
be coming paralyzed.
Stop. I mean, that's not even funny to joke about.
Wow.
I think it is because it's so absurd.
That's not even funny to joke about. There is a thought that I may have a partially compressed spine.
Is it hurting right in your neck right here?
Like, no,
right
it is at the top, like right underneath like where your neck starts. There's just a giant knob in my neck.
Maybe we get a doctor to call in or a chiropractor.
Well, who needs that when I've got Steve, the sales guy upstairs, who's lent me a stim machine, who came down and gave me a massage. He's trying to keep me fresh for the show.
I don't know if practicing medicine yourself is the way to go. I'm not sure that's, you know, I don't, you know, I know you like it. Your millennials like to read online, Dr. MBS.
This is a guy in person upstairs. Yeah, how's that online?
No, but I mean, you shouldn't try to fix yourself. I mean, he's not a doctor.
He was a doctor.
No, he was not. He's not an MD.
He was an athletic trainer.
No, get out. He's not a doctor. Get out. I probably know more about medicine than he does. Get out of here.
Stop.
If you're going to take his word for it, our sales guy, might as well take my word for it. I'll diagnose you. Come on, get out of here.
Your medicine is sit on the sideline for 6 months.
Well, that could be it, too. Yeah. No, if you're a doctor or our chiropractor, because chiropractors aren't doctors, 802-655-6672.
Wait
come on.
A minute.
I could be a chiropractor by tomorrow. I mean, stop it. Come on now.
It's like
there goes the chiropractor advertising.
Since we talked about Seinfeld yesterday, it's like the one where Jerry is dating the he's dating the woman he calls her Pimple Popper MD because she was a dermatologist.
Right, goes, right.
Dermatology doesn't make her a real doctor.
No,
I call
no.
you Pimple Popper MD.
Right. If you're a dermatologist.
But she was treating skin cancer.
Well, that does that. That
yeah,
counts.
So that counts as a doctor.
If you pop more than just pimples, that does count.
So if he has something really serious, Arnie, you're going to feel pretty bad, aren't you, for that girl?
No, not really. I still think jacuzzi or sauna that will take care of it. You'll be as good as new. I don't need to hear what Steve, the sales guy, says upstairs. What machine he gives you, what back brace he puts you in. I wouldn't practice medicine by yourself.
So, Steve, okay. Well, I need to talk to Steve. I wasn't aware of that about him since I can't move.
Yeah. All right. We got a busy day, busy week. I got Friday off. What's going on and what's up on the show today?
Well, remember, mistake of the day. You want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. And how about a nice text we get? Keith in South Burlington, who tells us he's wearing a 101.3 ESPN baseball cap that he won from us. For winning the mistake of the day. So if you want one, too, like Keith, you can get one from Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester. We've got them. We're also raffling them off here at the Windjammer.
Wow.
So if you come on and hang out with us. And, Arnie, did you guys – they've been talking about it all day. But what do you guys make of this whole Laurel and Yanni thing?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, and I even saw one guy in radio break it down on different frequencies. And what the hell is that? What's
isn't
going
Yanni
on here?
A skinny guy with really long hair?
Yeah, that's
piano?
What I thought too.
Do you remember 3 years ago there was all the social media fad about the dress? Was it white and gold or was it blue and black?
Yes. This is the same thing now.
So this is the same thing, but audio. So Aaron's back in the studio. Rich, since you somehow have escaped hearing this for the night and all day.
I've not heard this.
You haven't heard it either?
I've seen the Twitter people. I'm like, not one of these things again.
Yeah. Because Aaron, play it for us. It's going to play four times, all on the same frequency wavelength. Aaron, give us the clip.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
All right, what'd you hear there?
I heard Laurel. I mean, there's no question. I mean, I could be deaf and heard Laurel.
What else could it be?
Yeah, what else could it be?
Well, the answer is I heard Laurel also.
Brady? What about him?
It's either going to be Laurel or Yanni. And they say that if you're, and I don't understand how this works, but
if you're deaf, it says Yanni.
All right. All right. Can you play it again? And I'm going to listen as if it's Yanni.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
It's all about apparently which frequency your body picks up better. Like do you hear things in higher frequency or in lower frequency?
Or normal frequency.
No, that is the answer. So it's all about how you hear things in the frequency range, and it can be dependent on age, it can be dependent on how much you use your ears. So maybe since all of us, and you so more than me, we have headphones on our ears all day, and we're getting bombarded with each other's sound, and Arnie's screaming. Maybe it's throwing us off to where all we hear is
that. I actually could understand that, because when I say stuff and listeners call in, I say, I didn't say that. You didn't listen to what I said. So our listeners have that type of hearing, too.
I mean, you as a younger person with probably less Van Halen shows in your eardrums than I've had, perhaps. Do you hear the word Yanni in that?
No, I heard Laurel.
Yeah,
also.
I heard Laurel.
I heard Laurel every time.
I thought he was going to say Ann Hardy, but I didn't know what I didn't know what the hell he was going to say next. So yeah, there you got that one. I didn't even once think that it was the other one. So I don't know why the big debate is. What's coming up on the show? What do we got going?
A Red Sox player and his representation want out of Boston.
Saw that. Bye bye.
Some more talk on Brad Stevens. Buster Olney at 5 o'clock. A former Patriot gets a big honor, but first. It has been the MO of the Celtics all playoffs. Second half, they come through and dominate, and they get a 13-point win, and they're going back to Cleveland with a 2-0 lead. Yesterday was impressive.
All right. If we don't get a million people texting us now on the Town Fair Tire text line about that game yesterday, do you guys not know that the Boston Celtics are going to the NBA Finals? I want you to know that. 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. I equate this to, and Rich, you'll understand that, obviously, you're running a marathon, 26.2 miles. LeBron came out, ran the first 6.5 miles.
He was in the lead after 6 miles.
Big lead out there. Halfway through, he still had the lead, but the gap was closed significantly. Yep. Second half of the race, he was dead tired while everybody else was coming up and passing him because they were fresh and feeling healthy. That's exactly what happened. LeBron had 21 points in the first quarter, but I believe only
21 more.
And it was... For a while there, he only had like 11 after two more quarters of play. Look, bottom line is this. The Celtics never gave up. They hung in there. They closed the lead. What was it, the 5 or 7 or something like that? I knew right there and then they were going to make a comeback and win this thing. They got him in the third quarter where they outscored him by, 14 points or something. Tremendous effort. And I also said this. I love when people are playing defense, they stole an inbound pass, went for an easy layup. And they stole another pass, where somebody reaches in front of him and knocks it away. And to me, that is laziness either on the guy throwing the pass or the guy trying to get open. Congratulations to the Celtics. You just stay tough. You're going to the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors.
Well, just like the Philadelphia series now, they have to hit the road with a 2-0 lead and figure out a way to come home with a split. And if they do, they're in great shape, no question about it. But I'll tell you, I came out of that one as I mentioned yesterday. I was sure that Cleveland was going to have a huge punch, especially LeBron, and sure enough, he did. But the thing about that first quarter and the first half, really, LeBron's hitting threes from fadeaway threes from his bench, and you've got Kyle Korver comes out and hits three threes in about 45 seconds. But the Celtics never let that lead get into double figures. I think it got to 10 once. It was like 46-36. I don't recall, but. But they always hung around. They were down 4 at the end of the first quarter. They were down 7 at the half. And you're just thinking they haven't really given them a punch yet. They're in this game big time, and they may just have a shot.
The Cavaliers got nothing again from people not named LeBron James. I understand Kyle Korver had 11 in this game. But when you talk about it, I mean, I've got the stat right
here.
They
were all at once.
Right. I understand that. But it's still 11 points is 11 points, though. But when you talk about the fact that J.R. Smith and George Hill were 1 for 11, and they went 0 for 6 from 3, when we talk about pulling an upset, and at this point I would consider the Cavaliers winning this series to be an upset at this point. If you're going to pull an upset, your stars need to play like stars, and LeBron did that. But you also need valuable contributions from other people you might not be expecting. And that's what the Celtics have gotten, because it's been Terry Rozier one day, it's been Marcus Smart one day, it's been Marcus Morris one day. The Cavaliers don't have that right now. Their offense is a stagnant offense that is LeBron-reliant and LeBron-centered, and that's not going to win them the series. I had it in 7. Celtics are winning this in 6.
A lot of people on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. One of the few Josh in Burlington, one of the few predictions that I will agree with Arnie on. Yes, the Celtics are going to the finals. Josh says, you Celtic fan, but wasn't really thinking finals possibility this playoffs. But yes, now I am. You guys, we should get Celtic fans all over the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Are we going to be bringing up another segment on JR, or can we bring that up now?
No, we are.
Okay, because he's lucky that if that would have been me, there would have been some fist going. That's all I would have said to that
one. And Glenn from Moncton, our buddy, bringing up my worst nightmare realized, he starts up by saying, it would appear that Rich is the new Arnie. And I didn't really want to even read beyond that.
Wow.
But you picking, all your ridiculous picks that you're always wrong about, and I have continued to pick against this Celtics team, as I think a lot of people have, and there's no way I can't pick them now. I mean, I said Cavs in 6, And there's just no way this team, there's no way Cleveland comes back. And so I'm just going to keep picking against the Celtics in hopes that they'll win.
The defense for the Cavaliers was non-existent yesterday.
Horrible.
Especially in the second half. I mean, the C's outscored Cleveland 55-33 over just the final 22 minutes of the game. And this has been the MO for the Celtics all postseason. They did it against Milwaukee. They did it against Philadelphia. Second half, they own. And whether it's the players getting more locked in, whether it's Brad Stevens' halftime adjustments or a combination of the two, this team finds a way, if they keep it close to the first half, that they're going to be in it in the second half and in a position to pull away. And that's exactly what happened yesterday.
Aaron says Celtics in four, hype train to the end. You know, when are we going to ask the question, Brady? I guess
Are the Celtics the greatest team ever?
No. Who do you rather play in the finals, Houston or Golden State? I mean, it looks Golden State. I don't know. Would you rather just play Golden State, take on the better team, the iconic team, or would you rather take on a Houston team?
I'd rather play who I might have a chance to beat.
Right, and that's Houston.
You don't think you could take on Golden State? You don't think you could beat
Houston
them?
Houston had the best record, but when you get a healthy Warriors team right now, and the thing is it's interesting because the track record between the Celtics and the Warriors, and all we've got to go on is the regular season.
Right, right.
It's 2-2 over the last 2 years. They've played them very evenly.
Mike in Plattsburgh, do we think there would what do we think they would be here with Kyrie went down? Or do you think they would have been here when Kyrie went down? No, not in a million years. Matter of fact, I think when there was four teams left that were about to start the conference finals, the Celtics were still 14-1.
Yeah.
To win the whole thing, they didn't think they would get by Cleveland, and they didn't think they weren't going to go ahead and win the finals. But that game last night, it's just another Brad Stevens type victory. The hustle, the determination, the defense, that was the staple.
I'm going to have to go through some serious research here, and especially going back to times where, where I was too young to even know or I wasn't alive yet. It feels to me, though, if the Celtics did win the championship, if we could let ourselves think that way, it feels like it might be the greatest run in sports history to me. It feels like it might be. We've seen Villanova win the title as an 8 seed in college basketball, and that was big. But this is sustaining it for the end of a regular season and for winning best of 7 playoff series. One game, I understand, offers freak things. And one game repetitively can offer freak things. But it feels to me, again, I'm not declaring it. I'm just saying I'm going to have to look into it. But it feels to me like this is the greatest run to a championship I would have ever seen.
If you're talking about best of sevens, not possibly. If we're just talking about runs, I still say United States winning the gold medal.
Right, but
about Celtics history here.
No, I'm talking about sports.
Sports history, yeah.
Okay, I thought you were just talking about Celtics.
But I'm talking about in sports where you have a series where it's not one game dependent. If they were to win a title, you'd look at they would have taken out LeBron, they would have taken out Curry, Durant, or Harden and Paul, and they would have done so without their two best players and their two biggest offseason acquisitions, and they would have done it over a 2.5-month span. That, to me, feels like it couldn't be top.
The only thing I can compare it to is in college basketball. The year Arizona won it, they knocked off 3 number one seeds. But, again, that's not a best of 7.
And again, that's single. Yeah,
that's single. But that's the only thing I can equate it to.
I'll tell you one thing I can equate it to, and it's happening right now, the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, that's going to be... I know everybody just says, "Oh yeah, hockey."
Yeah, but
they're
a top seed, though.
I mean, but the whole thing. I don't think people have any grasp on just what's happening here and how insane this is going to be if they win the Stanley Cup. That would be one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Jim in Essex, I remember the Canadians winning the title as an 8th seed. I bet you there's been a 7 and 8 seed that has won the
LA Kings.
Yeah,
twice.
Yeah,
yeah. So that is, and those are good runs. Yes, those would be runs that I'd be looking for. Again, I didn't declare it. I'm just saying I'd have to really go back and think about it and see where the Celtics winning a title would stand. But we're not at that point yet.
Glenn and Monk, the greatest run because it was the most unlikely. I agree. Again, I guess any 7 or 8 seed is mostly unlikely, unless you have injuries, somebody was coming back, and then you're like, wow, I wouldn't want to play the San Antonio Spurs because Kawhi Leonard wasn't there for the first 4 months, but now he's coming back. Big difference in something like that. As we are live at the Upper Deck Pub, come on by. The Windjammer, we're having a lot of fun. Of course, good specials, beer specials, drink specials, and of course, food specials will be here till 6 o'clock. Then Brady's got Champlain Valley game night today. Short show tonight, isn't it, Brady?
Yep, short show because we got Red Sox again. It's the A's, and we got some Red Sox news. One of Fenway's finest wants out.
All right, we'll get to that coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
If you think what Arnie says on the show is irritating, you should hear him during the commercial break. It's the huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady, only on 101.3 ESPN. ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We are live at the Windjammer. That's the Upper Deck Pub. Come on by. Just hanging out, enjoying ourselves. Got the TVs on. By the way, it's just so distracting watching the TV with the nice cars, the old cars. Where's my 67 Canary Yellow Camaro? I need that.
Did you have one?
No, but I would like one. If I had one, I'd be rich, would I not?
I could picture you having an old Volkswagen Beetle.
No. If I was going to get one or two cars,
Pacer,
it'd be the 67 Canary Yellow Camaro, or Rich, the candy red apple convertible Mustang.
I was just about to say a convertible Mustang.
It's got to be candy red. Candy red apple. Yeah. It's got to be that color.
Yeah. When I went through my I must have a nice car because, you know, well, I won't say why I wanted to have a nice car, to make up for other inadequacies. I decided I had to have a brand new convertible Toyota MR2.
Oh, wow.
Remember those?
Yeah, that goes way back.
I had that thing, drove it into the ground in about 4 years.
Oh.
And I want to tell you, I did not meet one single woman because of that car.
Really?
Not one.
I had a Porsche.
That was the only reason I had it.
I had a Porsche. That was a chick magnet.
You?
Yeah, my parents felt bad because we were always poor. And then it was like the Clampets. They went shooting at some food and up came oil. And they're like, we're going to get you a Porsche.
Wow.
I go, really? And yeah, and I still couldn't pick up girls.
Right? I thought they got you a Porsche because they named you Arnold and they felt bad.
Well, that too. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? Jeez, if I named my kid Arnold, I'd buy him a Ferrari.
I was sure it was going to work, and it didn't work. Oh. They saw right through the driver.
These cars are just, they're putting up picture after picture and just killing me. I just want, if you had one of those, it'd be just unbelievable.
But it's exciting because Mustangs are back and they look hot.
By the way, Tristan and Wilson, I was thinking about this, but this is not a best of seven series. You said it might be the best.
Yeah, but it's still a full season.
Right. We're talking about Leicester City was 5,000-1 odds to win the English Premier Soccer League a few years ago. When the season ended, totally remember that.
That would be a good one.
That's unbelievable. That's about the longest odds I've ever seen anybody winning anything. That's incredible.
And that would be good because it did. It was full season sustained well-being. Not one week, not one game. That was prolonged success.
And that's why I mentioned Vegas. I mean, it's been right from the get-go. You start out 1-0 and you go, oh my gosh, they're 1-0. That won't last.
All right, Brady, tell me about this Red Sox player. What's going on with him, and does everybody
know his name?
Yeah, I sent you the article, Swihart.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known if I didn't just look down at my paper.
If he served you breadsticks at an Olive Garden?
I would ask him for seconds. That's about it.
Blake Swihart, who's a backup catcher, a backup infielder, and a backup outfielder, and a mostly bench player, his agent has gone to the Red Sox and says that he would like a trade, and the reason why simply is that he's not playing, and this isn't good for anybody. It's not good for the Red Sox because he offers them no use at this point. It's not good for Swihart, who's not getting to play, and his trade value is not being helped in any way because he's not getting a chance to show what he can do. So his agent has said, basically, cut your losses, let this guy go, and let's move on.
All right, both of you guys tell me, because I'm not an expert on this guy. I did say a Holiday Inn Express last night, though. When give me some background. When was he taken? Does he have potential? Do you like him? Do people know him around Major League Baseball, other teams? Would somebody be interested? Would you give up on him and we'll take somebody else, a pitcher that somebody else gave up on?
He was a top draft pick, and I don't mean overall top, but he was a first rounder. I think it was in 2011, and Baseball America had him as the number 17 overall prospect in 2015.
Okay.
This was a guy who was a very offensive minded catcher. He was a very good hitter.
And that's the fastest way to get up catching.
He was the opposite of Christian Vasquez in every possible way, and he was the next guy that was going to come along after Veritek, but then he got hurt, and he just, when he's had his chances, he hasn't hit. I think he has 23 at-bats this year. He's got like one or two hits.
I think it's fair that Blake Swihart would want to be traded. In fact, I think it's 100% warranted that he would want to be traded, but I do have a bit of a problem with the timing and the asking for the trade, because look, Dustin Pedroia is going to be back, we think, in a week and a half. We think he's going to be back by May 25th. And that leaves Blake Swihart to be the odd man out there. Blake Swihart will be off this roster by May 25th. Why? You've held it out for a month and a half. Why not just wait the other 9 days until they either are forced to trade you or you go and get released? And somebody, you're going to get placed on waivers, and somebody else is going to claim
you. Well, you know better than I do. Do you get less money if you get sent down to the minors?
No, once he's been in the majors, he gets money. It's not about – Okay. But he's out of minor league options. Okay. He's not going
okay.
to them.
Okay, so he doesn't have to go. Right.
That's the issue for the Red Sox. The Red Sox like him.
Okay.
And they can't put him in the minors. But they really don't have a place for him. But they don't want to just give him away to some team that can use him. That has been the problem all along.
I was going to say, you got to consider one of those crappy teams with like 8, 10, 12 wins. One of those 10 that are tanking. Would love to have somebody like
that. And he's appealing because he can catch. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, is he a guy who's going – I mean, how many teams need a catcher at this point?
No, that means you could, hit for your catcher and have a third stringer behind the plate for a late inning if you
he's
want
also
to.
But see, Rich, you are right. Him, the fact that he can catch is appealing to other teams, but he's got one inning behind the plate this year.
Yeah.
So for a guy who doesn't have, who can't go to the minors, you're going to throw him into the fire right at the major league level and say, you need to stick because we can't, you know, if we trade for you, then we've given up something to get you. And then if we end up not liking you, we can't go to the minor leagues for seasoning. You better stick with us or else we've given up a player and whiffed on you.
I'm not really surprised his agent. Keep in mind, it's his agent who came out with this. I mean, I don't think
the timing's from the player, too?
Yeah, but I don't think the timing's really that bizarre. He's trying to get people's attention at a time when it's time to, you know, move on.
Do people want this guy? I got to assume they would want him because there's no money involved and he plays different positions. How many teams? Like 5, 10 teams would say, oh, yeah, we're not going anywhere anyway. What the hell? Huh?
Again, people would like him because they like that skill set, but you don't like being locked into a box of a guy who has not been productive at the major league level yet and doesn't have the ability to go to the minor leagues for seasoning. That's the issue. So if a team gives up a piece for him, then they've given up a player that they had in their organization.
Right.
You bring Swihart in, and then they determine, look, man, this guy really needed some minor league seasoning, but we can't put him in the minor. So he becomes a black hole on your major league roster, or you got to release him, and teams don't want to do that. So it's a very complex issue. Bottom line, I think the Red Sox have done him wrong from the beginning. I think he should have been traded in spring training. There was no spot for him on this roster. Then they put him on the roster, and when Pedroia comes back, that's going to force their hand.
And it's ridiculous because Alex Cora, you remember when he went down in preseason talking about, oh, Swihart's going to – we've kind of moved him around a little bit. He's going to be our super utility guy. Well, really? I mean, he has 23 at-bats, and I understand he's hitting 130 in those 23 at-bats. But he always seemed to me to be a guy, you've got to give him 10 games. Give him 20 straight games. I don't care where you play him. See what he can produce. And if nothing else, increase his value for a trade possibility.
I'm just thinking maybe they kept him around because they really weren't sure Pedroia was going to come back this early. Maybe he was a little further along. Am I wrong on that? Well, is that a possibility?
Pedroia is ahead of schedule.
Now he is, but maybe when they signed him out of spring training, they were unsure.
Well, he was ahead of schedule from the start. Okay. I understand your point, though, but they still elected to use Su-Wei. I mean, Brock Holt went on the DL, and they used Su-Wei Lin instead of using Blake Swihart at those positions. Eduardo Nunez, Rafael Devers has struggled on defense, and when they've given him a break, they haven't put him in. They haven't put him in the outfield, and they've relegated Jackie Bradley Jr. to a bench player, and nowhere to turn have they given Blake Swihart an opportunity. It's a tough break for him. I feel for the kid. He's 26 years old. He's got this long pedigree of being a top prospect, and now he seems to be blocked with the Red Sox, but other teams won't take a chance on him because, number one, they know the Red Sox hand is forced. They know they're going to have to make a decision with Pedroia, so they don't need to move yet. And they know that his value isn't high.
Well, can you do this then? Does Jackie Bradley Jr. have any value? Maybe package them off together. Two guys, Jackie Bradley not making a lot of money, right? You told me. So maybe a team not doing well says, hey, we'll take a chance on it. Maybe bats 260, 270. Why not him? Or is that ridiculous?
I mean, you're trying to trade. You talk about
you're
selling
talking about a
low.
Guy you don't really want.
I mean, I'm just nervous about selling too low. Is Swihart a 120 hitter? Of course not. But, I mean, Jackie Bradley right now can't hit the side of a barn. And I just don't know if now is the time. I just don't think anybody wants a 170 hitter.
Well, they're not ready to give up on Jackie Bradley Jr. And remember, when you keep saying that, wouldn't a bad team like Jackie Bradley Jr.? Well, no, they wouldn't. Because if a bad.
I thought low money.
But understand this. The tanking teams want to lose. They don't want Jackie Bradley Jr. to come and make them better.
He's batting 190.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So then you look at it and say, fine, he's only got a couple of years left on his deal. Then by the time the team that's bad and tanking is ready to get good, then Jackie Bradley Jr. becomes a free agent and leaves him anyways, or they've got to pay him more money than they think that he is worth.
So there's not a lot of value in him either, then? Is that what you're saying?
There's not a lot of value in his current performance right now. If he was hitting 300, there would be massive value.
Well, keep in mind, he's about the streakiest hitter I've ever seen. I mean, he'll probably go, you know, he'll put him in a lineup tomorrow against Baltimore, and he'll go 5 for 5 with 3 home runs, and all of a sudden his trade value shoots up. I've never seen a guy go on.
Buy low, sell high. I'd rather buy a guy at batting 200 if I know he's going to go to 300 than get him at 300. shouldn't have to overpay for something like that, though.
I just
though.
Think if you package Swihart and Jackie Bradley, you're not getting a thing in return.
I think if you get, I think this team does have to trade Swihart, and I think all you're looking at this point is I don't think you're going to get anything that you see of use in this year. I think you're looking at some A-ball player that's 6 years away. Yep. And for a team that has no farm system, maybe that becomes appealing to get somebody in the minor leagues that can serve as some depth and help rebuild that farm system. But you're not getting a bullpen arm to replace Carson Smith for Blake Swihart.
All right, let's get back into the Celtics. We'll talk about Marcus Smart, Morris, just pretty much all around the toughness for the Celtics. We'll get into Brad Stevens. We are live at the Windjammer Upper Deck Pub. Come on by. We'll be here till 6. And then, of course, Champlain Valley Game Night goes to about 6:30, so we'll hang out here. Have a lot of fun, great drink specials, great food specials, great beer specials. So stop on by. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN Network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Rich is here, Brady's here, Arnie's here. We're live at the Windjammer Upper Deck Pub. Come on by. Did you don't say what the story is. Did you guys read the story I sent you for Last Story Standing?
No, I never read
it. You did
anything.
Not send it to me.
I never read it.
Yes, I did, because I got it right here. I sent it to you.
What was it about?
About a baseball team.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so you did read it. Okay.
I never read anything you said, because you always wake me up.
You'll love this story. Right. We'll save for last story. It's a good one, right? I thought you would have known about that. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that until you sent it.
It's actually a remarkable story, too. Wait till we get to it. I mean, I'm fascinated by it for a couple reasons, but that's for Last Story Standing as we're live at the Upper Deck Pub. But once again, we get back to the Celtics Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. I don't think the Celtic fans have understood. I don't think it's resonating. This series is over. The Celtics are going to the finals, and they're either playing Golden State or they're playing the Rockets. And, Brady, how many pairs of tickets can you get away to give away, man? I would love to do that. How great would that
be? Answer would be zero.
Could you get right on that, please?
How much are tickets going to go for that one, huh? Man. Oh, my goodness.
Imagine if we had power play tickets for NBA Finals.
Oh, my goodness.
We could play all show.
Oh, we could play two. We could play all week. For that's going to be... Even the worst seats in the house have to be like $500 a pair to go to see the
it'll
NBA.
Be crazy, can you imagine?
Especially
if you can get them.
Especially at the NBA, because they're the arenas only seat between 14,000 and 20,000.
Oh.
So there's more exclusivity even than like a baseball game.
And you got the true West Coast, East Coast, Golden State, and Boston. So it's going to be phenomenal.
And immediately, of course, when you started talking about that, I had to see who has home court, and Golden State had 3 more wins than the Celtics. So there's your answer.
I'll be stupid. Does it go by total
It totally
wins?
Goes by that in the NBA.
I thought it went by. Okay, because I wasn't sure about that.
Thank the Lord, because every other league, man, it's just too complicated for me. I'm still trying to figure out the wild card in the NHL.
Brady, a couple of Swihart comments here, so you want to go ahead and get to that?
Why not send Brock Holt down, and why not play Swihart in the outfield to increase value at least? I believe Holt is out of minor league options also. Rich, you have the computer in front of you. You can check it, but I believe Holt's out of minor league options also. And as far as playing the outfield, there's nobody better. He's not better than any other option there. J.D. Martinez has been more serviceable than we thought, but he's hitting so much that you could never take his bat out of the lineup. Jackie Bradley Jr. is too good a defender. When he does play, he offers you that. Swihart doesn't offer you premium defense or premium offense, whereas Martinez offers you premium offense, and Bradley offers you premium defense.
All right, let's get back to the Celtics. They take game two. And I bet you, if we did our friend, our friend Old Cold Takes or whatever it's called, what is it?
Freezing Cold Takes.
I bet you if we took calls at halftime from Celtic fans, it would not have been too much fun from some of the Celtic faithful out there. But, man, they turned it around. What a great third quarter run. That was absolutely phenomenal.
The Celtics are the perfectly constructed team. And understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying they are the perfect team. I'm not saying they have the best players. But they have the perfect mix of everything as far as I'm concerned. They have a high-level coach. They have when Kyrie Irving plays, they have premier scoring and an artist ball handler. When Kyrie Irving doesn't play, they have role players that are willing to be unselfish and are capable of hitting shots but are willing to find the open shot. They don't have any ball-dominant player. Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris offered them a bit of toughness. In Marcus Morris' case, it's that Philly, that streetball gym mentality. I read a great story on where he actually grew up in Philly. It was awesome.
Really?
And he brings that physicality.
I love that.
Along with Smart. They just have everything. They have some toughness. They have some grit, some determination, some resilience, some shot makers, a great ball handler when Kyrie is playing, and a great head coach.
And then you've got Tatum and Brown, the young athletic guys who can just do unbelievable things. I mean, did you see the run that the Tatum – he only finished with 11 points, but I think he had 9 of them in about a minute. He just put his head down and made some unbelievable shots that only he or a Jaylen Brown could make. You're right. They all have they all seem to know their place on this team, and I attribute that to the coach.
I'm dying to see how Game 3 comes out. If Cleveland's going to be one of those, if they get back into it, next thing you know, this thing is tied at 2 apiece, or if the Celtics put them out of their misery, because one win on the road that settles that. Celtics have only won one game on the road, so it's not like they've dominated or anything like that.
Yeah, they lost all 3 to Milwaukee, and they went 1-2, 1-1, I guess, with Philadelphia. That crazy win in overtime that they got.
Yes.
So you're right. I mean, they're completely, you know, Jekyll and Hyde as far as home and away, but they're going to have to figure out a way to steal one. But as far as Cleveland goes, man, Hill and Smith, J.R. Smith was just hideous last night, and he just played like he didn't care. 27 minutes, 0 points. He had 3 rebounds and an assist. And, I mean, they're not looking for 40 from him, but we talked on the show yesterday about, you know, James is going to get, as I think I said, 45, 10, and 10. I was kind of bummed. I just missed. But, I mean, that was an easy call to make. And Love gave you 22, although he missed a ton of shots. But it's got to come from somewhere else. I understand Korver had 1 minute where he scored all of his points, but you've got to get something out of Smith and Hill.
The thing that's different for the Celtics that they have overcome, is they have some of these shortcomings too, but they've been able to overcome them. The thing about their opponents is that they've all been severely limited in certain ways, and they haven't been able to get past it. Milwaukee couldn't shoot from 3 well enough over 7 games to win the series. They had a couple of games where Chris Middleton played well and where Eric Bledsoe hit some shots, but by and large, they were not a good enough 3-point shooting team to contend with the Celtics to win the series. Philadelphia's youth showed, and the Celtics have youth also, but their youth at head coach and their youth in the backcourt showed, and they had some high turnover games and some uncharacteristic performances out of them. And the thing with Cleveland is that there aren't a lot of options on that team in terms of scoring. LeBron did a lot to get people. LeBron shot over 50%. His teammates shot over 50% when he created the shot for them, but they have no individual shot creators on their own. It's a stagnant offense. And then defensively, they looked disinterested for the second half.
And another guy, Jeff Green, we haven't even brought up yesterday. 28 minutes, 2 for 5 from the field. I mean, and that's exactly to your point just now, Brady. I mean, it's just everybody playing like they're disinterested. And other than that first quarter, although it would have been easy to do so, it just seemed like everybody was doing what they do best, standing around waiting for LeBron to create something.
Look, not only LeBron makes you better, he's made millionaires. I mean, remember when Moskov all of a sudden looked like he's the real deal? Lakers gave him all that money? Well, when you don't play with LeBron, all of a sudden you're not good.
Dellavedova. He became his number 2 guy. They lost in 6 to the Warriors.
I don't think that guy could start in our YMCA league, Brady. It'd be a tough go right now. I'm telling you, this guy's getting paid millions. It goes to show you, when you're playing with LeBron, you look like the best thing since sliced bread. You're away from LeBron. You're nothing.
Similar to Tom Brady and wide receivers in some way. Or Tom Brady and running backs.
Well, I still think, what's his face, that left to Miami.
Amendola
not going to like fold up and be like.
No. They're not going to be nothing, but you're not going to count on him for 60 catches, are you?
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe.
He didn't have 60 catches with Tom Brady.
Well, what I'm saying is he'll stay at par, whatever he was. I don't think he's going to fall like Moskov and Dellavedova and all those guys. They're non-existent now, those guys.
But, I mean, remember in midseason when they get, you know, they get Korver, they get Nance, they get, you know, Rodney Hood, who I thought was going to be a great pickup from the Jazz. Those guys have done nothing, really. They've had their moments, but for the most part, they haven't done anything.
I still think overall, and I will say this, I still think overall our buddy Kobe Altman, who we like, okay, he's the GM of the Cavs, he's a Middlebury graduate. I think he's done a great job this year. He came into a really, really untenable situation when you talk about the Kyrie Irving and LeBron drama, and then I like the trade that he made, I still like the trade that he made to get Clarkson and to get George Hill and to get Rodney Hood because he was able to get younger, he was able to get more controllable, he was able to get more athletic, and it may not work out for them this year, but I still like that move long term.
Clarkson was a very serviceable player at worst for the Lakers. He didn't even play last night.
All right. We'll get to Brad Stevens a little bit later on. We'll come back. We'll finish out the hour live at the Upper Deck Pub. Stop on by. Great food specials, great drink specials, all that here. Stop on by. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Wednesday. We are live at the Windjammer Upper Deck Pub. We are here on our 101.3 ESPN Craft Beer Tour. And this is one of my favorite parts of the show when we do these things. We sit down with the brewmaster at various places, every place we go. Now we're sitting down with John Baker, who's part of Harpoon, another great local staple in the area. John, how are you?
Great. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're doing well, and I'm pumped for so the show goes until 6:25, and then we go to Red Sox baseball. So 6:26, I'm going to be getting something that's pretty exclusive here at the Windjammer. You guys have partnered with the Windjammer, and you've got a special beer that honors the 40th anniversary of Harpoon. It's called the Jammer Session IPA, and this is the only place you can get it.
That is correct. This is an exclusive collaboration with the Windjammer. They are celebrating 40th anniversary, which is really exciting. And, you know, this is a session IPA, so it's 4.3%. So, you know, these NBA games are on late.
Yeah.
So some of these IPAs are really strong. And
so I could have more of these, you're saying, and still remember the fourth quarter.
You guys can appreciate this. So, yeah, these games are on 9 p.m. You know, I'm in bed by the third quarter. So it's a great beer. It has all the flavor, all the hop aroma you want in an IPA, but it's not going to put you under the table. So, and again, exclusively here at the Windjammer collaboration for their 40th anniversary, and really exciting program. And come on by and have one.
Tell us about the beer itself. What's in the Jammer Session IPA? You said it's not going to knock you under the table. Is it super hoppy? What do we got in there?
Oh, man, Faulkner's Flight hops. It's like a West Coast hop. It's got some nice citrus.
I like citrus. I've gotten very into craft beer since I moved here.
Oh, good for you. So some pine notes. But, you know, it's lower alcohol, but it's not watered down.
Yeah.
It's got some great body to it. Great flavor. Again, pairs great with some chicken wings, buffalo chicken wings.
You got
wings.
Me ready to, like, go out and barbecue and grill. That's what it feels like. This feels like a great beer that I should be flipping burgers in one hand and a harpoon in the other.
Well, hey, that's what we're all about.
So, summertime in Vermont, time to drink Harpoon. We're talking with John Baker of Harpoon here at the Windjammer Upper Deck Pub. So what is new at Harpoon? Like I said, I've gotten into craft beer, but I haven't hit every brewery yet. I have not been to Harpoon yet. What's going on? What are you guys doing?
Well, first off, you know, come down to see us in Windsor, Vermont.
Yeah, more local, buy local.
That's right. Since 2000, we've been holding it down in Windsor, birthplace of Vermont, and we're employee-owned, which is...
Really?
Which is exciting for guys like me and all the staff down there.
So, in other words, everyone now wants to know, are there job opportunities?
Check the website.
Yes.
There's always something opening up down at the brewery. So, we're independent, so we're not affiliated with any larger brewing company or any banks or anything like that, so we're employee-owned. It's really exciting for us at the brewery, and, there's a lot going on down there, including a lot of events this summer.
Yeah, so speaking of that, you've got the Harpoon Brewery Barbecue Festival.
Yeah.
As I just talked about grilling at beer, you've made it easy for me. You're putting it in one spot. Well, tell us what's going on.
Well, this last weekend of July, every year we have our barbecue festival, and it's a lot of fun. Saturday, Sunday, July 28th and 29th, and come on down. All the best barbecue teams from all over New England come down with their smokers and grills, and, of course, all the Harpoon beer you can imagine. And it's just a really great event, and I think we're going to do a little text to win, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, we're going to do a text to win. So we've got some tickets to that Harpoon Brewery Barbecue Festival. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Let's see. I've got four tickets, four passes here in front of me. If you want to get in, the first four people, actually, we'll do two pairs of two. So if you want to get in, 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. Again, first people to get in, first two people are going to get these two pairs. John, I'm going to throw the curveball at you. How many different kinds of Harpoon are there? Because it's a state. My girlfriend got it for me. It's a state of Vermont. There's 61 holes in it for different bottle caps. So I'm trying to fill that as quick as possible. How many different kinds of Harpoons are there that I can have represented in my state of Vermont bottle cap art?
man, so currently available.
Yeah.
I would say anywhere at a given time with all of our seasonals and special releases, probably about a dozen.
A dozen. So
at any given moment.
So that means I'm going to have 12 harpoons in my State of Vermont art. John Baker, harpoon. And again, it's the 40th anniversary of the Windjammer. They've got the Jammer Session IPA on draft here. It's the only place you can get it. And it's 626 today. That's what I'll be trying.
Come on down to the Jammer. Hey, you know, it's a great spot, great landmark here in the Burlington area. And we're so excited to be partnered up with them. And the staff down here is doing such a great job with the beer. So that's about it.
Looking forward to grilling season again. 802-655-6672 if you want that pair of passes. John, thanks a lot, man.
Hey, Brady.
Hey, cheers. We're having a blast at the Windjammer Upper Deck Pub. You can come and see us till 6:30. You talk about a great Vermont staple. How about Buster Olney, our MLB insider from ESPN? He joins us next right here on The Huddle.
The Huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We are live at the Upper Deck Pub, the Windjammer. Come on by. We'll be here till 6, and Brady's going to start Champagne Valley game night. He'll go to about 6:30 before we wrap things up. All kinds of great specials, so stop on by. Good crowd here, and we're giving away some swag. Also, we got some 101.3 hats to give away, so come on by the Upper Deck Pub and the Windjammer.
We had like 75 people text in right away for those harpoon.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
So when we go to break next, we will have the winner for you. Just too much to tabulate here in the break. We got to see who got in first.
Yeah, I'm like, people saying, pick me, give me. Did I win? That would be awesome. So we will, Brady will straighten that all out when we get ready, mere moments away from Buster Olney. So I hope Buster Olney has a degree in psychology for you, Brady, out of Vanderbilt. Maybe he could talk you down off the ledge from your buddy Robinson Cano. So
wow.
We'll wait till we talk to him. And by the way, what is the Yankees are what, a game up on the
one game?
One game up.
Although
on the
if they get swept and the Sox win,
they
the
were
game
suspended.
Tonight.
The Yankees game is postponed tonight.
Already. Man, it won't go away in D.C., huh?
So
there was supposed to. There's, I forget which team is going through a 10-day rain. Coming up. I think it was the Philadelphia Phillies have like 10 straight days of rain coming up.
The whole East Coast got drowned yesterday. So
that is that's going to be.
They could have played in Centennial Field. It was beautiful last night.
Go so, figure.
I didn't know that Tom Caron was the voice of the Lake Monsters.
What?
He was no, he was not the voice of the Lake Monsters, was he?
Yeah, never. Really. But somebody when he was on Tuesday, somebody texted us going, "Can you believe that Tom Caron, who did the voice of the Lake Monsters a couple of games or something like that?"
I think he shouted out. I think he shouted out.
Oh, did he?
Centennial Field.
Okay, maybe I misunderstood that. I'm like, did he call games? I'm like, no, shouldn't you have told me that if he did? You know,
I think you're right. I think he mentioned Centennial Field during a Red Sox last week.
Because I'm like, I think Brady and Rich would have certainly have said something.
No, I've never seen him in the booth. It would have had to have been last year that he's been up there.
All right, let's get back a little bit into the Celtics while we're waiting for Buster Olney. They're up 2-0. Is there anybody that thinks that maybe the series isn't over, that Cleveland takes the next two and maybe wins this thing in 6 or 7 and you know, all of a sudden shocks the Celtics and the Celtics don't play like they are right now or what?
Well, I'll sign up for that. I hope I'm wrong. But since I've said Cleveland in 6 and I'm not a hypocrite and I don't change my picks like you always do.
I
think that this series is over. I thought the Celtics were going to win it from the start. But as I, you know, I always do say that the series doesn't start until the road wins a game. And,
right.
And that hasn't happened yet. So to say that it's lock, stock, and barrel over, I think, is probably unfair. But I thought all along the Celtics were going
to
win this.
No, but where are the numbers? You were supposed to crunch me some numbers. The team that wins the first two games.
The Celtics are 37-0 all time leading 2 games.
They've never lost a series in the history of the team in that situation.
All right, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, our ESPN MLB insider, it's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing okay. What's going on, guys?
Well, Buster, I don't even know if Rich and I should talk to you. Maybe we should just let you talk to Brady because he's about to jump off the ledge over Robinson Cano for crying out loud.
Wow. Yeah, it's a terrible loss for the Mariners. And Brady knows this for sure, that in the American League West, there's not a lot of margin for error because you got the defending world champion Astros and you got the Angels, who are a gritty and gutty team with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. And the Mariners have been playing, you know, pretty well of late. They get James Paxton with a no-hitter, and boom, all of a sudden, Probably the most stable force in their lineup is gone. And I got to tell you, you know, this is one where you heard it, you go, yep, not exactly shocked. I kind of wondered because Robinson is friends with a lot of the guys who got busted in the Biogenesis investigation. And you wondered if he was going to be caught up with that, and he wasn't. But he gets 80 games now. So for the Mariners, it's a really tough situation. This is year five of a 10-year contract, as Brady well knows.
Yeah. Yep. Buster, talk to us about what exactly happened. He did not test positive for PEDs. He did not test positive for steroids themselves. So I want to be optimistic and say he's not a cheater. He's a bad victim of circumstance. But it feels like he was a cheater, Buster. Kind of tell us exactly how this came down.
Well, and unfortunately for Robinson or anybody else who gets to test positive now, if they try to claim innocence, they are swimming upstream against the years and years and years of guys, yeah. You know, from, you know, Ben Johnson to Rafael Palmeiro to other athletes saying, proclaiming their innocence, you know, Lance Armstrong. Pronouncing his innocence, and so now I think we're conditioned to believe that the players who claim innocence are probably not telling the truth. In his case, he tested positive for a masking agent, which is not something that he could be suspended for outright for just having that substance in his system, but under the terms of the drug testing agreement, if it can be proven to a certain extent that the intent was to use it as a masking agent, then the player can be suspended. And this is under a joint testing agreement between MLB and the union. And whatever MLB came up with, the union and Robinson Cano apparently went along with it. Now, from what I understand, you know, there's some people thinking, well, once he got injured the other day, was hit by the pitch, and he was going to miss a significant amount of time, then he just dropped his appeal. From what I understand, he dropped his appeal, or he indicated he was going to drop his appeal before that injury took place.
Buster, you've said in the last couple of years on the show, you're talking about just kind of the let them all in mentality eventually over time as far as the steroids and things like that or the PEDs. How do you feel this affects Robinson Cano's chance of getting into the Hall of Fame?
Takes him out of it, I think. I mean, look, I've told you in the past I would have voted for, I would still vote for Barry Bonds now. I used to vote for Mark McGwire. I voted for Roger Clemens. To me, when you know you're talking about a Clemens, a Bonds, those are members in good standing. You know they work for teams; they should be in. But there is a block of writers, probably about 40% of them, who have made it clear they're never going to vote for any player with any kind of a proven link or you know a suspected link to PEDs. And I think that's where Robinson's going to get nailed. Now that he's been suspended, I don't think he's ever getting in. Just in the same way, I think now that Bonds and Clemens aren't going to get in.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us here on The Huddle, as he is every Wednesday at this time, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Buster, Rich and I talked about, we all talked about this on Friday. Rich and I came to the conclusion, kind of shocking to both of us, that baseball needs to do something to alter the shift. And the reason being is because balls just, look, a lot of balls aren't being put in play, but the ones that are all being caught, and we need to get the action back in the game. Do you see any validity in trying to limit the shift? Maybe not take it away, but change it to a degree?
I think it would become kind of a circus-type farce to the degree that I don't want that, because how would you do that? For example, would you draw a line behind second base, and you're not allowed to cross over this, and then would it be like basketball players waiting for the free throw to be released from the hand, they're going to run over to the other side? I don't know how you do that, and I don't know how you tell a team, look, you're not allowed to put your defenders where you think the player is going to hit the ball. But what are you going to do in the NFL now? You're going to limit one cornerback to each side? I agree with you guys that there changes need to be made. I don't know if I like that one. This is the best idea I think that I've heard, that teams could be limited, except in cases of injury or in blowouts, to using four pitchers in a 9-inning game. I think that would be a great improvement because I think it would, again, increase the importance of the starting pitcher back to a degree that the game needs it.
All right, Buster, let's get a little bit to the Red Sox. So first of all, Jackie Bradley Jr., what's going to be done to him? Can he be traded? Can he be moved? What are the plans for him? And also Blake Swihart. You know, I was asking Rich and Brady about him. I'm not the baseball expert, especially when it comes to somebody like him. Is there a market for him? Are there teams lined up for this guy? Or is he just so far down that nobody really cares? You tell me what about him also.
Yeah, and in the case of both players, I mean, your trade value probably can't get any lower than it is right now. I mean, Jackie is swinging terribly. He's perceived to be a hitter who has a one-plane swing, that he's not necessarily someone who can make a lot of adjustments with the type of swing that he has. And, yeah, he's valued for his defense, but as he gets more expensive, as he gets older, his trade value is going to go down. So they probably couldn't get much in return for him at this point. And Blake Swihart just hasn't played that much baseball. And you feel bad for him in that position because clearly he's a tremendous athlete. You do wonder if at some point during his career he's going to get an opportunity to play, and it's possible that he's going to take advantage of it and be a good player. But the Red Sox really don't have the opportunity to give him the at-bats right now, and I think probably the best thing that he can hope for at this point, because the Red Sox aren't just going to give him away, is for an injury to develop so they actually get a real clear look at the guy.
But, Buster, do you feel like Swihart's been jerked around a little by the Red Sox? I mean, it just seems like they never give him 7, 8, 10 games. You know, you don't get that kind of relatively long look that he can prove anything.
Well, my question would be, who is he going to step in place of,
yeah.
Right?
Well, Vasquez is hitting 190, so, I mean, I know he's not going to just suddenly start catching, but I don't know, certainly not in
well,
the outfield.
Well, and I think that, and look, I have not asked the question directly about how much he could be a catcher, but my perception was, after the injuries that he's had, that the idea of him being an everyday catcher was not necessarily an option. Mm. But either way, maybe you turn him into a super utility guy who moves around, plays a lot of different spots, and that, you know, sort of player is valued more now than 10 years ago. But I don't think he's going to get that opportunity until an injury creates a chance for him someplace, whether it's with the Red Sox or another team. But I can understand from the Red Sox perspective, because you just don't want to give away a guy who, you know, you believe in to a high degree.
Buster, yesterday we talked with Tom Karen of Neston, who said the Carson Smith injury is potentially devastating for the Red Sox bullpen. They might need to go out and try to address that bullpen. What are you hearing about the bullpen market as teams continue to tank and fall out of it? What kind of names might be available?
It's hard to say at this point. You know, Barraclough of the Marlins might be a guy who could be interesting. Maybe a Brad Ziegler could be an interesting guy. It just depends on which teams fall out of it. You know, if the Dodgers actually continue to collapse, maybe they've got some guys that could be out there. But here's the problem for the Red Sox, is that whenever that market starts to fully form, the Red Sox are going to be at the back of the line when it comes to being in a position to make offers. You know, the Yankees are so loaded with prospects and with financial flexibility that whatever they want, if they and the Red Sox want the same thing, the Yankees are going to win the bidding process. You know, there are going to be other teams in front of Boston. So you get the sense that whenever the Red Sox make their move, they're going to be picking through leftovers as opposed to the top of the market.
Well, picking about leftovers, then, is there anybody we should keep an eye on that the Red Sox might decide, you know, we got to make that move. We need this pitcher. We need this guy. Anybody we should keep an eye on?
Yeah, it's too early to say. I just don't, because teams are not out there in the marketplace yet with guys.
Right.
You just have to watch the standings and see which teams fall out of it and see which guys get hot. There's no more volatility than there is in bullpens in Major League Baseball.
Buster, what about as we go over to the Yankees, who may never play again if they stay east? I'm starting to wonder. The Brandon Drury situation, it sounded like he was ready to go. Is that a matter of he's not ready to go, or is it a matter that Miguel Andujar is just playing so well?
Yeah, it's Andujar is playing really well, and he's a young player that they believe in. You know, during the course of the winter, the Yankees had a chance to get Gerrit Cole from the Pittsburgh Pirates, but they told the Pirates, look, we are not giving up Andujar and Clint Frazier. And, you know, they believed in Andujar to that degree. He went and had a great spring training. He's played well early this year. And so you have Brandon Drury, who's a player the Yankees have valued for a long time. Cashman's talked about that, how he tried to deal for him repeatedly in the past, And now he doesn't have a spot on the team, and he could become one of the market alternatives for other teams to look at third base. And, you know, maybe that's how the Yankees wind up making a bid on a reliever starting pitcher during this summer, would be potentially by including him.
Buster, I've asked you about this before. We've talked about it in spring training and the beginning part of the season. What's up with Dylan Betances? What are people saying about him? His hard hit rate is up 10% higher than last year. He can't go multiple innings. He's given up runs 10 of his 17 innings. He allows all these runners to score. What do people say about Betances now?
That scouts say that he just does not have confidence in his fastball, that whether it's because he's tipping his pitches or because he doesn't throw quite as hard as he used to, that he just doesn't believe in his fastball the way that he has in the past. And he's a different type pitcher, and, you know, we'll see if he changes. Plus, I do think that as we see all these hard-throwing relievers around baseball, the one thing to keep in mind, you know, it feels like that they are guys who potentially are going to burn out. You know, I've been working on stories lately on the number of guys thrown at high velocity in baseball, and I've had so many evaluators say to me, you know, that's how you're going to have injuries. That's how you're going to have Tommy John, by guys who go into games and say, I'm going to throw as hard as I can for 20 pitches. They're not going to last a long time, and it's possible that Dylan's starting to reach that expiration date.
Buster, you were having a fun talk on your podcast today about the most underrated great baseball player. What kind of resolution did you come to on that?
Well, and that was from Paul Imbecchiti, one of our researchers. He brought up Stan Musial as his guy, as a very underrated player in terms of how great he was, how consistent he was. And it gave me an opportunity to cite my favorite baseball statistic, which is during the course of his career, he had exactly the same number of hits in home games as he did in road games, guys.
Wow.
3,630 hits in his career. He had 1,815 at home, 1,815 on the road. That's unbelievable.
Shocking. Me being a Met fan, I thought the answer was going to be Lee Mazzilli. I didn't.
Oh, listen to you.
I didn't know that's where you were going.
This is not a conversation about Edgardo Alfonso, okay?
Oh, Buster, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
Always great talking with you guys.
All right, thanks. Take care. Buster on the ESPN MLB Insider. If there's any guest that we have on that's, you know, covers a certain sport, he has the most fun with his sport, does he not?
Oh, I love it. This is my favorite 15 minutes of the week, and I think it is for you also, Rich.
Big time.
Would you like to do a job like Buster where you do nothing but baseball? I mean, obviously, you'd like to be part of MLB's broadcast. But I'm just saying, would you like to be an MLB Insider or... I mean, that you don't see too many MLB insiders like you do NFL or NBA or stuff like that, though.
I'd like to do the job we have right now where we get to talk about all sports. I know, but
just being involved with baseball like it is with Buster.
Right,
you know?
I mean, after doing 80 games in 81 days or whatever last year, including the road trips, I can tell you it's an addiction. But it's more of an addiction with baseball to me than any other sport. It's the kind of sport, if I have to be away from home doing one sport for 150 days in a row, it would have to be baseball.
What a grind. What is his... mileage look like on the airlines? Does he get to keep that or what?
I don't know, but I bet he does. Well, I bet he doesn't stay at the same hotels I do.
Oh my goodness! No. The award points he must get is got to be out of this world. It's crazy out there. So thanks to Buster Olney for stopping on by. All right, we are live at the Upper Deck Pub. Come on by. The Windjammer getting a good crowd in here, and of course some great appetizers, great food, and great specials.
Yeah, remember that also. It's the 40th anniversary of the Windjammer. So
yes.
That Harpoon beer that they brought in, the Jammer Session IPA, that you can only get here. They partner with the Windjammer. I can't wait to have that. And also, remember, we told you this yesterday, but we are now very, very high-tech, Arnie.
Yes.
We are extremely high-tech. Well, maybe not you, but our listeners are.
I'm high-tech.
So if you're listening on that Amazon Echo, that Echo Dot, if you're using Alexa, all you have to do is say, enable 101.3 ESPN, and we're going to pop up. And you're going to be able to listen to us in your home, take us everywhere. Arnie, you can just go, and anybody will be able to listen in their house.
I love it.
Well,
I love it.
The days of clap on and clap off.
Yeah, those days are long gone.
We thought that was the most amazing thing in the history of the world.
You know what's so funny is, I just saw this yesterday, there's a museum of failed ideas, of all these ideas that we thought were going to be great.
On some roadside.
Oh, it's actually a big museum.
Oh, is it?
It is. It's unbelievable.
I hear it's a failure.
Yeah, no. Brady, we're going to give out names like for this next segment or what?
Yes, for the Harpoon Brewery Barbecue, we're going to go figure out out the winners.
All right, so we'll have that coming up next. More on the Celtics as they're up 2-0, and the Patriots do something nice for a Hall of Famer. All that coming up next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Back to the huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Doug and Derek, you're going to go ahead and get those. What are they going to get, Brady?
Yeah,
tell what they're going to get.
They won something.
They won something. We're giving away something.
Doug and Derek are each getting a pair of passes to the Harpoon Brewery Barbecue Festival, which is Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th of July. So that will be a fun time at the Harpoon Brewery in Windsor, Vermont. And Derek at Middlebury, Derek, speaking of Derek, also just our qualifier for the Ultimate Fenway Fan Experience. And Rich, here's how that's going to work tomorrow. Tomorrow, 6:55 a.m. Yep. and 7:55 a.m. We're going to give you two chances.
That's me.
To hear that Red Sox player of the day. And then that first cue to call is going to go off at 8:55 a.m. So
all right,
we're even giving you the times. How easy could it be?
And we're going to tell you twice in case you oversleep.
Yeah.
All right, it's perfect.
I got to tell you what bothers me. Look, and obviously people on the Top Fair Tire text line getting in 802-655-6672. Whenever we're giving something away, people text us like crazy. I'm very disappointed at the Celtic fans. We've been getting a few Celtic texts. They should be texting us like we're giving away $100 bills. Matter of fact, if I said we have tickets to game one of the NBA Finals with the Celtics, how many texts do you think we'd get now, huh? If I said, everybody text us and tell us your favorite color, and we'll give away game one for the Celtics in the Finals, I would think we'd get about close to a couple hundred thousand. Would you say that? I mean, really.
Of course, it would help if they'd actually be in the finals.
Yeah, and they're going to be in the finals.
Ahead of yourself.
Yeah, so I want to hear from the Celtic fans because, I mean, at the beginning of the year, we thought maybe there was a chance. But when Kyrie went down, when Brandon Haywood went down.
Gordon Hayward.
What did I say? Brandon. Oh, my God.
Brandon Haywood is an old
and
wizard.
And then it was Spencer Haywood. Yeah. I'm going to just give you all of them. But, you know, then we really said it was
Justin
over.
Justin Hayward. Yeah.
Now there are two games away.
Who is Justin Hayward?
He's a baseball
who's that?
Player.
Jason Hayward.
Oh, you're really screwing it up, huh?
What is going on?
Oh,
there are times I wish, and I don't say much on this show, at least, but I sure sometimes wish I'd shut my mouth.
So there you go. Two games away from going to the finals. You should be ecstatic on the Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672.
In my defense, Justin Hayward is the lead vocalist at the Moody Blues.
Okay, I don't know that, but so I'll take your word for that. I'm going to go ahead and take your word. So there's a lot of them.
Did you see the guy from the Grateful Dead is coming back to Burlington to play?
Lesh with his kid.
Yeah, wow.
Wow, look at you're all over that, Rich.
Oh, yeah, I'll be at the waterfront for that.
I'd rather see Tom Caron and his kid play.
Well, I suppose they'll be back. Was that just a one-off?
I don't know.
At the burger bar?
Yeah, I love that. That'd be fun.
He looks the part, man. I saw a picture of TC and his two sons the other day. One of them's like clean cut, and it just looks like, you know, he's going to make it big. The other one's got hair down to his knees, and he's a guitar player. I'm like, yeah, that guy, he looks the part. I think you can tell which one of those guys plays the guitar.
Andrew in Fairfax said, my message is the Celtics have been the same all season. This is Stephen's masterpiece. You know, it's hard not to give him a lot of credit, but let's be honest. I mean, people are overlooking what Rozier's done, Jaylen Brown's done, Marcus Smart's done. And, Rich, I got to take the blame like you did. I'm like, can someone tell Marcus Smart to stop shooting three-pointers?
Yes.
Remember I said that? It was felt like the 10th or 15th game of the year. I'm like, man, this guy's going to kill us. And, boy, did he really turn it around. Not so much shooting three-pointers, but just overall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the shooting hasn't really improved much. Occasionally, he hit a three. I mean, he was three. And I think I texted you during the game or after the game last night, Brady. Have you ever seen a guy who goes 3-for-9 from the field have such an impact on the outcome of a game? But he does that every night.
Yeah, he did just everything. He did hit a three, if I'm not mistaken. He stole the ball on an inbounds pass. He stole the ball from behind. He's diving into the scorer's table. He's getting into it with J.R. Smith defending his teammates. And, yes, that was a dirty play yesterday by J.R. Smith. And this team just has all the proper ingredients. They're tough. They can hit shots. They can hit from the perimeter. It's a likable team. They've got a great coach, good front office presence, and the fans have bought into This has been a fun team to root for.
I'm actually shocked that they didn't throw J.R. Smith, suspended him, or throw him out of that game, or suspend him for game number three. Matter of fact, the NBA came down with the ruling. They said that the NBA will not discipline Cleveland's J.R. Smith for his foul on Al Horford. Egregious. Matter of fact, who said this at the broadcast? I forget who said it, but he was absolutely right. If this takes place down in Venice Beach, game over. There's a fight on. I mean, you do something like that at a pickup game,
Jeff
there's a
Van
fight.
Gundy was pretty against it.
Jeff Van Gundy, he said, if that's not a flagrant two, then what is?
That was a dirty play. It was certainly a dirty play. I don't know that I would have suspended him either. I mean, after the game, he owned it. He said, I was trying to keep him from scoring, and when I saw it, I didn't see he was trying to injure him. I just think that's the kind of play you don't make.
Well, yeah, you don't push
somebody in the back.
There's
a difference between dirty and trying to injure.
And let's face it, as a Celts fan, I don't want him suspended. He had 0 points in 27 minutes and was useless last night.
The key to the game, and it's kind of that play is emblematic of it all, is that it was about cohesion and togetherness. The Celtics had it and the Cavaliers didn't. They were noting on the TV broadcast a lot about how the Cavaliers were rolling their eyes at each other, and there was more eye rolling there than a bad marriage. I mean, the Cavs just didn't look
that
like they were.
That was funny when they did,
yeah. The Cavs didn't look like they were together. The Celtics did. Ball movement, ball reversal, good shots, unselfish play, and then just the genuine love that they have for each other. And it sounds corny, but it's true. You saw Kyrie on the bench even getting into it as well. So it was very, very cool.
Sean in Colchester, I've been saying all along that everyone on the sports talk shows have been underselling the Celtics all along, and they keep doing it. I just love it. Yeah, I don't know if there was a team. As a matter of fact, you asked if there was a better run to win a championship in all of sports. I think we could say no, because I remember the stat now. This is the first time a team has been underdog in the first two series that have won. Obviously, they've been underdog against Cleveland. If they win that, they'll have been underdog in the first three series of one. That's never happened before.
They have been completely must-see TV and must-listen-to radio for the last 3 months. I mean, it really, pretty much ever since Kyrie went down, it was like, oh, this team's kind of good. But then you'd have your doubts. You'd get to the playoffs. You go, well, Milwaukee, I figure they'll go seven. They may win or lose that one, but they have no shot against Philadelphia. And now look where we are.
Do you guys agree with Shane in Burlington? These suspension situations are always results-based. If Horford had gotten hurt, I guarantee JR would have been suspended. I think there's some truth into that,
there
don't
is.
You know or not, Brady?
Yes, that's entirely possible. And we saw it with the Chase Utley, Ruben Tejada play. Okay, there was the Utley rule, and Utley was suspended, I believe, for a game after he broke Ruben Tejada's leg. Remember the Danny Trevathan hit this year for the Bears on Davante Adams for the Packers?
Right.
There was a suspension there, in part because Trevathan was a repeat offender. But you see it with Vontaze Burfict and some of these guys, Brad Marchand, some of these guys that are in the system already. Yeah. They also were more inclined to get penalties. I love how Marcus Smart recalled, it was 2015, I think, when J.R. Smith hit Jay Crowder. He's like, this isn't the first dirty thing he's done.
He remembered that. Yeah,
he remembered.
Absolutely. Even people are agreeing with our texters. Andrew in Fairfax said, Sean from Colchester, spot on. When he said that, all the talk show hosts have been underestimating the Boston Celtics all year long. Well, they got off to a great start. There was no underestimating them. Everybody thought that, you know, they were going to have a good run there. So, I mean, there was no underestimating them from the very start.
Well, it's a good day when our texters are agreeing with each other.
Andrew in Fairfax doesn't agree with you.
What does he write? What does he say?
Nothing appropriate. You got to edit some of his words. But
how are they not must watch after winning 16 games in a row following an 0-2 start? Just keep opening your mouth and saying dumb stuff. Thank you, Andrew, in Fairfax.
Have a nice day. I'll leave it at that.
Well, I did. I was just saying that. I go, what do you, I said, you know, they did get off to a good start, so we weren't underselling that, but that starts.
I'll defend that, but yeah, that was an incredible run after the 0-2 start. But from then on, I just was not, call me a bandwagon jumper if you want. I don't know how that's possible of a Boston team, but I just felt like they were doing the best they could, but they weren't going to get very far once Kyrie went away.
How about that crowd, too, by the way? I wonder what tickets went for in game two. I think they're like about 300-400 for this one, so that's not too bad.
No, they've always called the new garden, the TD Gardens, the Fleet Center, and all the other stuff they've had over the years sort of antiseptic compared to the old Boston Garden. But they have been raising the roof on that place this year for the season.
Our old intern went to the game. How about that?
Our old intern Jordan.
Yeah.
I think his tickets were like $530 for for the two.
Okay, that's not too bad.
There's a reason why those people in the front row are dressed so well. trust me, because they can afford it.
They didn't act all that well, though, when LeBron left the game with 3:48, and they're booing, and people are... Chris Mannix said people ran down the tunnel to yell at LeBron. Like,
what did you think of that hit?
Could you possibly have less of a life?
That was,
In terms of what?
Well, because I didn't think
it was intent.
I've heard somebody say, look, he passed the ball. He wasn't hurt as much as he let him on to be. He's just faking it. I thought he had his bell rung on that.
Yes, I thought he got his bell rung, and I don't think Tatum did anything wrong. I thought it was just
play. No, are people saying that he did it on purpose or something like that?
No, but I'm just, I'm making the point that I don't believe there was anything intentional.
All right, real quick, tell me what the Patriots are doing with Matt Light. What's going on there?
Matt Light, 11-year veteran of the NFL, spent his whole career with the Pats, 3 Super Bowl championships, played in 5 Super Bowls. He is getting inducted into the Pats Hall of Fame this season. September 30th, the ceremony against the Miami Dolphins. Your Dolphins.
My Dolphins.
Matt Light came out and win.
Matt Light is going to be the 27th member of the Patriots Hall of Fame.
All right, so when we get back, we're going to get into the lottery. I actually thought that the Celtics got one of the top 3 picks.
We all did.
Why did you guys think? Well, we'll go through it. I totally misunderstood what the hell they were doing. I think they screwed it up.
Right, it couldn't be us.
No, I think they did screw it up. Anyway, we'll get to that. Coming up next, you're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Boy, we are live at the Windjammer Upper Deck Pub. Stop on by. Brady going to be doing Champlain Valley game night till about 6:20.
That's right.
6:30. So plenty of room and good crowd here. So a lot of specials. Stop on by.
And they all want to see you. This
it's amazing.
Usually they run away from you.
It is. Usually I scare everybody away. So that is funny how they're just kind of they want to go ahead and see me. What does it say about Belichick here? Patriots Hall of Fame. Now, that's funny. How many before Belichick era? 1 or 2?
Well, Mike Haynes was in there, so there's one.
And that's it.
Sam Bam Cunningham, two.
Yeah, not
Jim Nance, Jim Plunkett. I don't know. I have to look at the list, but I would imagine there's a few.
Not as much as that's going to be after.
Do you think Matt Light was a better winner than Richard Seymour or Mike Vrabel, who he beat out?
I do, because he was a lifer. I mean, he was an 11-year Patriot, and I think they had winning seasons all 11 years. They won 3 Super Bowls. I mean, Vrabel didn't last long enough, and neither did Seymour, that crazy trade that none of us really understood at the time. I think Light's perfect, and he stayed around with the team, which I guarantee you politically helps.
All right, let's get to the draft lottery. Why did you guys think that...
reason you did.
Well, because I saw them... I didn't have the sound on. I saw them do the selection, and then I saw that there was the 3 boxes upstairs where they had Sacramento... and
Atlanta
and
Phoenix. Yeah.
And then, so I said, okay, well, they got the top 3, so they didn't get it. Then they said, coming up after, we reveal the top 3.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Right. They haven't done the top 3. I had not seen the Lakers. I didn't know that pick was going to
Philadelphia.
So I go, wait a minute, the Lakers thing is up. I go, you got a 66% chance of getting 2 or 3 instead of 1. They're going to get the pick. How about that?
This
I'm yelling.
This is so funny because all 3 of us in the course of the day today had the same exact reaction to what we saw last night. But the only thing, and I sat through that ridiculous 40-minute, quote, pregame show for it, just because I was so excited about it, even though there was only a 2.9% chance, all I was looking for was that guy to turn over a Laker logo.
Right,
and it just stopped happening, and it was building up. But I noticed the announcers weren't saying anything about it.
Because they were clueless.
Well, no, because they were right. I mean, the Lakers never were going to have a logo on there.
No, but they could have told us that, though. They could have said where they got it from.
Yeah, they should have put the Lakers logo up and then said, going to... Or they could have said Philadelphia via the Lakers.
Exactly.
Well, they had it on the bottom.
And what was that commercial that said, we'll reveal the top 3 next after they are ready to reveal the top 3?
It's that we knew who the top 3 would be, but we didn't know in what order. So we didn't know who was going to get 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, it was drudgery.
What it meant.
I was like, why are they talking about the excitement building for the Celtics here?
I'm going to go, they're going to get DeAndre Ayton. Oh, my goodness, man. I can't believe it.
And now they're set up. They have an interesting situation. This could kind of blow up on them a little bit. If Sacramento gets the number 1 pick next year, the Celtics don't get the Kings pick. They get the Sixers pick, which is not going to be a good pick, I guarantee you. So this could blow up, although they still ended up getting Tatum.
I was completely lost. I was completely lost watching that.
You were texting me when you were at the Ringer Bar saying, do the Celtics have a chance?
I'm doing the trivia. I can't even watch the game because, you know, you're running around doing that. The draft pops up. I'm looking, and I'm asking, you know, the guys. I go, are the Celtics still in this thing? And we're like, I don't know. We couldn't figure it out.
And you know what the strangest moment for me was, is I'm sitting there looking at these 2 7-foot guys with hair up to the ceiling. And in between, I'm sitting there going, what is that? Why do I know that woman? I said, that's the psychiatrist in the backseat in Twister. And it was Jamie, whatever her name is. But it's like, what is she doing in between these 2 7-foot basketball players?
The owner of the Atlanta Hawks.
Turns out that girl from Twister, the one that Bill Paxton leaves as soon as the final tornado strikes.
Are you sure? You mean...
It was her. Not
sure?
Helen Hunt. Helen Hunt was the ex-wife.
Because one of the ladies that owns the Atlanta Hawks is the girl that invented Spanx pants.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, she's...
No, but is
she a blonde hair?
No, she's dark hair.
Jamie Gertz,
Why
is the woman from Twister standing between...
I didn't know that. I know the girl that invented Spanx has bought the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, they are a diverse bunch, aren't they?
Yeah, no doubt about
Josh
that.
Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox, and...
and the girl from Twister.
And that woman from Twister.
Who's about 4'11".
First-time texter, whatever happened to the ping pong balls? I don't trust the process.
Yeah.
That you don't have to refer her to a 50-foot... Well, I can't even read all this thing here, but what happened to the ping pong balls there, Brady?
They stopped using them? I don't know either.
I think it was a couple of years ago is when they stopped doing that. I think it was done a new way.
Once I finally figured out that the Celtics were not getting a 2 or 3 pick, then I was able to just comfortably turn it off because the Celtics aren't in the lottery. So then at that point, I stopped caring about the draft.
Yeah. I didn't figure that out until afterwards.
Your Knicks have number 9.
No, big deal.
So now we need Sacramento to not finish with the first pick next year. Anything else is the Celtics, but not the first pick. Is that weird?
Yeah.
Are we sure about
that? Number one.
So what happens if they don't get that one? Then what's
Celtics.
The next one on the list?
They would get Philadelphia's pick, which
is going to be about 28.
All right. So that we finally got that straight now, because I was totally lost on that.
Hard to believe we had Bobby Marks on Monday, the old assistant GM for the Nets, and 5 years later, that trade is still paying off. How about the fact that the Cavs ended up with the 8th pick, that Brooklyn pick? That everybody was so hell-bent on keeping for the Celtics ended up being number 8.
That would have been horrible.
And the owner's son sure looked disappointed, didn't he? Because he's nailed a couple of number 1s just sitting there. Yeah, he looked like he just lost his puppy.
Yeah, no doubt about that. What's going on with Thurman Thomas and the Bills real quick? Yeah. What's going on there?
I just thought this was funny. Thurman Thomas, the old Bills running back, multiple-time Pro Bowler, was part of 4 straight Super Bowl teams.
Yep.
The Bills are going to retire his number. That's cool. Well, why are we talking about it? They're going to do it against the Patriots on Monday Night Football, October 29th. Don't teams not want to have ceremonies against the Patriots? It's like college teams. You never schedule teams to come to your gym that you're going to lose to.
Well, it gives them something to look forward to as they're down 27-0.
Now, I know at homecoming you schedule homecoming on teams that you can beat. That I know. That in college football you do that.
At least they're doing it in a somewhat potentially not freezing opportunity at the end of October in Buffalo. I mean, you do this in December and you start to wonder.
Well, they did it Monday night, and that's why they're doing it then, I'd have to imagine.
Shane in Burlington never thought I would see Rich making a movie reference.
Well, Twister was just...
Was Jamie Gertz in Twister?
Yeah, she was the psychiatrist.
Google it.
She was the...
I may have to call mistake of the day on you, Rich. I'll get the prize
here.
She
was engaged to Bill Paxton, who was formerly married to Helen Hunt, and those two were tornado
watchers, or
whatever.
Right.
And every 2 seconds, oh, look, there's another funnel cloud next door.
I know the story. I just didn't know that was Jamie Gertz.
Jamie Gertz,
the
owner of the Atlanta Hawks, who was there last night, was the psychiatrist taking phone calls while the Twisters were smashing all around them.
Every time you say John Paxton, I think Bill Paxton of the old Chicago Bulls.
You mean Bill? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Or James Paxton of my Seattle Mariners.
I had a little story about Jamie Gertz, but forget it. I was going to tell you this later on.
Really?
Yes.
Is there any human being you don't have a story about?
Well, no. She used the same doctor as I did in Brentwood for her pediatrician, and she was in there with her kid. But the funny part is the paparazzi wanted a picture of her kid. They couldn't get one. I happened to be in the room. I could have snapped the picture and made thousands and thousands of dollars, but I didn't want to do it. Yeah, that would have been unbelievable. What did you want to get to?
Intern Aaron's text.
Read it to me. What is that?
Can you not see that, Arnie?
He says, CVU's football homecoming game in 2016 was against number one Middlebury. We rented field lights and had big bleachers and got beat. So he's saying the point of you don't do big things That's when you're going to get beat.
I remember that. Didn't work out too well.
All right, we'll finish out the show. I got a great last story standing. We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, guys, I think you're going to like this last story standing. St. Peter's University baseball team got a 7-1 victory.
It's their first win in like 60 games or
something. Yeah, 7-1 victory over Iona. The only problem is they had a 77-game losing streak that dated back to May 19th. But here's the crazy part.
May 19th of 2 years ago.
Yeah, of 2016. Excuse me, of 2016. But here's the crazy part. St. Peter's, it's based in Jersey City, New Jersey. They play D1 baseball. That's the highest level of college baseball. And even though they've had a record where they've lost 77 in a row, they've had good players. 8 of their players were drafted in the MLB draft. And matter of fact, one had a brief career with the Yankees after being selected in the 2010 draft. So they've had players drafted, and they still can't get a win. I mean, well, what kind of BS is that, Brady?
Maybe they should play the Reds.
I mean,
well, a guy from 2010 wouldn't have helped them win in the last 2 years.
No, but I mean, no, but when...
You just mean it's a decent enough program.
Yeah, it's a decent enough program. When if you're going to lose 77 in a row and you got guys that are getting drafted in the Major League Baseball, come on now.
Remember your senior year, Billy? Oh, yeah, the year we went 0-37. Yeah.
Brady, what was your worst year? I mean, you didn't get through
my worst year was 1-19 in conference, but...
What?
We were like 20-20, but we were 1-19 in conference.
What?
We were horrible.
Despite you?
What?
Yes, despite me.
Wow.
That's no fun when you're doing that, you know?
No, trust me, it wasn't fun.
Tell me about it.
We had a triple header at Plattsburgh and lost all three. A triple header, 9-7-9 in one day.
Did you come close to winning in that 1-9?
Yes, we didn't get blown out every game.
This is 77. These guys 77 in a row. And I'm always shocked, though I shouldn't be shocked, when we hear about stories like this all the time. But a savvy 25-year-old... Dallas high school kid posed as a 17-year-old so he could play basketball again. Matter of fact, he won the Offensive Player of the Year.
He wasn't 17. He wasn't a high school kid.
No, he was 25.
Yes,
but he was posing.
But you didn't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was a 25-year-old posing as a 17-year-old high school kid. Won the Offensive Player of the Year in basketball. And an old coach of his found them and turned them in.
Hey, if you got your eligibility, then you might as well use it.
How great is that? I mean, what would make you want to do that? That's like me. I think I'll go back to high school.
Yeah, what was that movie, Grown Ups, with Adam Sandler, Kevin James? I'm doing a lot of
Yeah, look at you.
I thought you didn't watch movies.
Yeah.
There's Grown Ups 2, 3, 7, 12, and 15.
You know, I'm looking at the kid. Can't you tell that he looks older than 17, 18?
Looks like one of my old teammates.
Yeah, geez. He looks like he's in his 30s. I mean, can't you just... You got to, you know, use a little common sense here, but the old coach said, wait a minute, I know that kid. I coached him like 8 years ago. How's he still in high school?
He seems to be much better now.
Yeah, he's gotten so much better. I don't know how that worked, but hey, we want to thank the people here at the Windjammer Upper Deck Pub. Yep. It has been phenomenal. The food has been great.
As always.
Had a great time. We want to thank Bonnie. She's certainly been real nice to us, and it's a pretty good crowd here right now, guys.
As always. This place is always crowded.
Food is always good. Yep. Always a good time here. So certainly want to go ahead and thank them. And if you're in the neighborhood, stop on by. Brady's going to still be good doing the show until about 6:30. We still have the 101.3 ESPN hats that people are dying to get their hands on, Brady. So
yeah, we got a couple of those. Champlain Valley Game Night is your last stop.
All right. What is coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night?
Well, there's a guy I really like who writes about New York sports who I massively disagree with about Robinson.
Wow. All right. And the mistake of the day, we didn't get one today.
Because we were perfect.
Again. We were absolutely perfect again.
That's
so,
twice this week.
Mistake of the day brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joanne's Uniform in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. All right. Thanks to intern Aaron back in the studio. Any other interns we got? Intern Kevin.
But it's not intern Aaron anymore.
All right. Well,
thanks to Aaron.
Highly paid employee, Aaron.
Super Aaron. How about that? So, Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next for Richard Brady. I'm Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.